say amen this morning.
Amen.
Musicians that precedes. Amen. I love a good worship service.
Yes.
Amen. The Lord inhabits with the praises of his people. So we certainly want him to hear this morning. How many brought him?
Amen.
I did. And so we just appreciate everything that's been said and done. Appreciate the Lord allowing us to gracefully move through yesterday's event. I thought that it was a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. And it's always so good to see, you know, things, family come together and the love and the unity and the things work out. And so I just really am pleased that everything that we sent Elijah and Rachel off was a good blessing.
Yes.
I understand that they got a pretty good amount of offering, if you want to call it that, some mad money to use on their little honeymoon. So I was happy to see that. And so just again, as they've already said, I too want to thank each one of you, the church here. I've seen you do it in Brother Matthew and Brittany's wedding and Anna and Jordan's wedding, and you did it again yesterday. And so we certainly have something special. We just want to protect that and amen, just keep it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's open our Bibles. We're going to read just three verses in Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 5. Book of Esther, chapter 5, verse 1. Amen. That means happy.
Amen.
Amen. It says, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And then said the king to her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. Amen. Let's now go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you this morning. We so appreciate your presence, Lord, and so your watchful eye over us and your hand just to help us so much, Lord. I know that there's many things that you do that we don't even notice. But Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you. We thank you for this little assembly this morning. We thank you for each one that are here. And Lord, we know that them being here today is not a surprise to you. I believe myself that before the foundation of the world, you knew who would be here today. You knew what would be on their hearts, what they would need. And Lord, I believe that you have prepared for them that which you know and purpose in your heart to be a blessing to them. So this morning, Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you and just ask God that you would just take this service now into your hands, that you would speak your word into the hearts of your people. These things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk to you this morning. I'm just going to title this The Marriage of the Lamb this morning. And a little subtitle, It Shall Be Given. Amen. Is anybody amazed that we'd be wanting to talk to you about marriage today? So, you know, I was telling Brother Daniel, we were talking yesterday, and, you know, a wedding is a good time to speak the gospel to people because, you know, as Brother Daniel said, everybody's positive.
That's right.
And you'll have a group of people at a wedding and at a funeral that you may never have in church ever.
Yeah.
And so it's a good chance to talk to them. But you know, the whole wedding environment, the whole thing about marriage is it's so close. It's part of the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so much and so so much that's positive about it. And so I just want to take this moment while we've experienced this weekend and capitalize on the environment of the wedding we had yesterday and just talk to you about the wedding and the marriage of the Lamb and our part in that. It's the Bride of Christ. You know, it takes a tremendous amount of grace. We know the Bible talks, you know, first of all, grace is unmerited favor, right? Favor that God has given us that we didn't merit. Right, so none of us merit. But the Bible tells us, lets us know that at the end time there is a double measure of grace. And so I would say if God wanted to pour out a double measure of grace here at the end time, it's because we needed it.
Yeah.
You know, Paul said something about be careful that you don't fail of the grace of God. Be careful that we don't live in such a way that the grace that God has poured out upon us to help us, that we so just neglect that we fail. That we fail to let grace do in our lives what God wants it to do. He wants to take the fact that we haven't merited anything, and he wants to bless us anyway.
Yeah.
And so let us not ignore that to such a place to where it just fails, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. God don't fail. But see, he wants us to reciprocate what he's offered to us. And so it takes a tremendous amount of grace in this hour especially. And so, but, you know, for us as sinners, as Brother Branham said, us poor, miserable creatures that we are that are deserving of hell, but yet God has extended his hand and his help to us. And for us to just, you know, I know me. I know what I deal with, right? And you know who you are. And I know the wretchedness of what I can be, right? And I trust that you do too. And if you don't feel that way, then you're not thinking right, because we are all poor, wretched creatures when it comes to comparing us to God. But he has so abundantly poured out his grace upon us. And for us to stop and think that the creator of the universe, that he would really want us.
Yeah.
How can that be? Mm-hmm. How could Almighty God be, you know, there's churches with tens of thousands of people in the world today, right now, gathering.
Right. Yep.
Why would he want to come to Van Buren, Arkansas?
Yeah.
Why would he want to come to this little place here? And so it takes an amount of grace for us to accept what he's done. And to believe it and to say, yes, Lord, yes, I will accept your invitation to me to be your wife. Mm-hmm. It takes because we have to come to that place where we believe him. We believe his efforts.
Yeah.
That what he has extended to us, that yes, truly is. He is concerned about me and he really wants me. Mm-hmm. Right? We have to come to that place where we believe that. And so, you know, remember, we say it quite often because it's in the message, you know, that a pardon is not a pardon until it's received as one. Right?
Right.
You've got to accept the pardon. If you're in jail and the governor pardons you, you've got to accept that and walk out free.
Yeah, right.
Even though you know you've been guilty.
Yeah.
You've got to accept that. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ in this day has done the things he's done to prove that he's come down to take us as his bride, we've got, by grace, we have to push away our failures and all that and believe him.
Right.
Why has he given to us the message he's given to us if we're not that people?
Right.
You see, we have to accept that. We have to, and take that grace and let that grace work in our lives and say, yes, Lord, I will I will accept this. And you see, Christ, Jesus Christ is the Word, the right. Word of God made flesh.
Yeah.
If you marry Christ, you marry the Word. You
right.
can't deny Him.
Right.
You can't deny the Word because He's the person of the Word in flesh.
Yeah. Right.
And we have to get to the Word. We have to accept Him. It's not good enough just to come to church.
Right.
It's not good enough just to pay your tithes, because you can do that and still be lost.
Right.
But once you unite with eternal life itself, once you,
right.
you unite with the Word of the living God, and you become one with that Word, now you've got eternal life living in you. But you can't have that and live like the world, right?
No, right.
It's a change.
Yes.
It's something that happens.
Yes.
If a man and woman get married and she marries him and it's real, her heart is totally smitten, totally changed.
Yes.
She don't want nothing else,
yeah,
right.
right?
Except
right.
him.
Yeah, right.
And so we want to look at these things this morning. So, you know, yesterday's wedding and all the excitement, all the expectations and all the preparation and all the everything that had been done, and you know, just such a wonderful environment. As nervous as many of us was, and so forth, and so. But in all that, we need to remember this is just a natural type of the great wedding.
Yes, exactly.
The great wedding, the wedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. With his bride. And so all the expectation and all the preparation, you think preparation hadn't been made for Christ to be able to marry a wife?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all the expectations, as I mentioned yesterday, perhaps heaven with their the angels with their breath held, watching to see the unfolding of God's plan.
Right.
And so that level of experience that we're experiencing this weekend, heaven has the same thing, but in a much greater form.
Yes.
A much greater form. Because you know that those angels, like the scriptures tell us, you know that there was silence in heaven under the seventh seal. Silence in heaven for the space of about a half an hour. That's not talking about 30 minutes, okay? It's Bible symbology and so forth. But you know, all the angels praising and shouting and go, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All that,
amen.
Just continual worship, and it ceased.
Yeah.
Why did it cease? Because the object of worship had left heaven and come to the earth.
Amen.
Why did he come?
Amen.
Why did he come? He came here for a purpose in our day.
Right.
Amen? And so we want to remember that heaven has the same expectations that we do, but in a much greater way. And that's why when I read it yesterday in the wedding, that the scripture said, so rejoice, be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Because his plan of redemption has worked. That everything he did, the victory that he won on Calvary to have a bride, and then he would come back in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he would move upon a church and perfect them and bring them to the place where they're fitting to be that bride of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures are saying right here at the closing out of the Bible, rejoice, be glad, give honor to him, because he's done it. He's actually accomplished it. He paid the price. He's got in his church, and he's made a bride who's worthy. And now she's put on the apparel. She's ready, and the wedding's about to happen.
That's right.
In other words, everything throughout all history has now come to this point in time.
Yes.
And it's so. And so the voices there speaking, and this all happening, said, rejoice, be glad. This thing's about done.
Yes, that's right.
Right? This thing's about done. I'm sure that this is exactly the way Elijah would be feeling yesterday. This thing's about done. This is all that I've longed for, all that she's longed for.
Yes.
Here it is. It's about to happen. Rejoice. How could you not rejoice?
Yes.
How could you not be happy? Right? We're happy for them. But what about them?
Yeah.
And just remember the type that this is of us and the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
that heaven is speaking to us and saying, you're in a time now where it's such a terrible place in the world, but for us as believers, it's a glorious time.
Right.
Rejoice, be glad.
Yeah.
Blessed is he that's been called to this marriage supper and this marriage, right?
Amen.
You see what I mean?
Amen.
And so this is what we want to think on, these parallels this morning. The scripture said there that, and the bride hath made herself ready. Look at the emphasis that the scriptures there put on her. Put on the wedding garment. It was granted to her that she could be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Because you see, there is an appropriate apparel to put on for a wedding. You're the bride. Not just any old. Could you imagine if all that yesterday unfolded and here Sister Rachel just showed up in her just plain old clothes? You know what that would mean? That would mean that she hadn't taken to heart the magnitude of the situation.
Yeah.
That's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride.
Right.
That if she wants to come to this end time and she wants to come to this marriage of the Lamb and she's not put on the right apparel,
right,
she just doesn't see it right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there's an appropriate apparel that she is to wear. And I'm not talking about this. We're talking about spiritually.
Yeah.
She is to clothe herself with what he has provided, because the scripture said it was granted to her. It didn't say she went out and labored and did all, but it was given to her the ability to put on this fine linen, clean and white, that he had provided for her.
Right.
But she had to put it on. Right? So we see that. But the emphasis, because the apparel is what people, when they look upon you, they're not to see your nakedness, but they are to see the apparel. When they look, they see what you're wearing. So it makes a statement. And you know, someone, you can take somebody from anywhere, from some other state that don't know any of us, and you could have put them in that room yesterday. And when that ceremony was over with, or when it began to start, they could tell you exactly who the bride was, because she was the only one there dressed that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A brother, sister, in this end time,
right,
there's one bride of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
One. And heaven can look down upon earth and can look and say, you know what? I know exactly which one is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because she's the only church that's dressed in the word of God that he has provided for her to dress in.
Amen.
She's the only one.
That's right.
Amen.
No question about it.
Hallelujah.
And so you can see that. So there is an appropriate wedding garment that's fitting for the wedding and fitting for who it is she's marrying. He's holy, righteous, perfect.
Right.
What kind of woman would this be? As I said, it takes grace for us to believe that we would be that. But brother, sister, he's providing all that we have need of to stand there in the grace of God and dress and to accept his invitation because he has loved us.
Yes.
Fitting for who he is and what he's done. An apparel that shows who she is. You know, the scripture said, I think we read it yesterday, that he would provide to himself this wife, this bride, without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad it said that, because the world looks upon us and they despise believers. Mm. But that's okay. We don't have to satisfy them. There's one. There's one that we have to satisfy.
Hallelujah.
Right? And that's why the scripture said that he coming back in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, wooing us and moving us to the house of God, moving us to the word of God, that he would present to himself. He would make her be exactly what he needs her to be to satisfy his needs.
Right?
As a wife. So it's in his sight. It is before him that we rise or we fall. It's not to others. Amen? You know, the story Brother Bram tells about the armor meatpacking guy that goes out west to find him a wife. Well, the whole town, they're all ranchers, and they They Armour Meat Packing owns all the ranches. Everybody knows this is the boss's son that's coming to find a wife. Mm-hmm. And most of us are familiar with the story, but maybe some aren't. So all the ladies, they all dress themselves up in their fine apparel, and they're out there having big shindigs each night, you know, out there, because they're all going to get the attention of the boss's son and become his wife. And then they'll own the whole thing. They'll be part of, yeah, and so they all have that out, and they put on their apparel, and they do all these different things and out there. And you know, none of them really caught his attention. But there was this one gal that she never came out there. She wasn't part of that. She was just one of the, probably like the Cinderella of the bunch. She was back keeping the house clean and washing dishes. And while they're out there having a good time, she's working and doing the things like that. And the boss's son sitting out there, he happens to look over and see her step out to pour dishwater out.
Yeah, man.
And he's like, "Who's that? How come she's not out here?" And so he makes his way the next night. He watches it. He makes sure he's over there when she comes out. And she comes out and she's startled, because here's the man of the hour, right? Here's the boss's son, and she's embarrassed because her clothing's not real nice, and she's not out there all beautiful and painted up, and she's not what the whole town thinks is going to be a possible person. She's the least likely person that they would think he would want.
Yeah. Right.
And even she thought that. Even she didn't believe that she had a chance to be out there. You see? But he wasn't looking for that.
Right.
He was looking for something that would be character to make his home what it needed to be. Man. Now, there's a reason why Brother Bram tells us these stories.
Yeah, right.
Right? There's a reason why these are there. This is told in the opening of the seals. This was. And so, but he says to her, "I find in you a character that I don't find in all them out there."
Yeah, right.
See? They didn't believe she had a chance, and even she didn't believe she had a chance. But it's not what they think, it's not what she thinks, but it's what he thinks.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And he said, "I find a character in you that I don't find in you in them. Will you marry me?" Me?
Yeah.
Me? Oh, how can this be? Yeah. See, the grace that it would take to... how can this be? Is he making fun of me? What is this?
Yeah, right.
But he was serious, mm-hmm. and so she said yes. Yes, I will. And he said, "Okay, 1 year from today, I'll come for you." Well, she's making herself ready. He leaves, and she all she has is a promise that he has given. All she has is his word.
Yeah, right.
That you're the one I want. Mm-hmm. Not all this multi-million-dollar whatever going on out here, but right. this one that the world thinks is the least likely one that God would want. Mm-hmm. This one. Yeah, that's all she had was his word, his promise. "I'll be coming for you." Yeah. Well, you know, for a whole year, she's holding that promise in her heart, and if she really believes it, she's making ready.
That's right. Right.
She's getting ready. And, of course, at some point, the rest of them start making fun of her.
Yep.
Looking at, "Well, you, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. If God would want you, he'd come to, or want somebody, he'd come to some great big something, some great big outfit." Mm-hmm. But she believed it, and she held true to it. And the way the story unfolds there, when the day come, it's just looked like the day was just about over with. But he said, "I'll come at a specific time." And so she goes out there, and just to kind of illustrate it a little bit, she's standing out there by the side of the dirt road or whatever it is, standing there with her flowers, got her garment on, standing there in her flowers waiting. Everybody making fun of her. "See, he just made a fool out of you. You think he's going to..." But she had his promise.
That's right.
It looked like it got right down to the last minute. But here come the wagon. You can hear the wheels turning in the sand, and here he comes. He comes flying up there to stop just when he said he would come. Jumps out of the wagon and takes toward her, and she jumps and runs in his arms. He said, "It's all over now. It's all over." You come to find out, he said, "I've had some people posted watching. I've had them watching them, see how you would be during this time." I just said all that story to tell you that she was the least likely one that anybody would think.
Yeah.
And even she didn't believe it. But at some point, she had to accept his word.
Amen.
And believe that he wanted her. So there's a certain amount of grace it takes to accept that. You know, the message that God has given us in this day is the marriage ceremony.
Yeah.
Brother Branham was the officiating officer. I guess that's the way you say that. He was the minister to conduct the wedding between the bride of Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that wedding is over with, they go to the wedding supper, the marriage supper.
Yep.
If I understand correctly in Jewish customs, you know, that they have the wedding and then there's the consummation. And there's a couple of messengers posted outside waiting, and the message comes out, the consummation is complete, and then those two messengers go and spread the news, and that would be the two servants in Revelation going to the Jewish people after this Gentile bride is united with Christ. And so the consummation has to happen there also. And so, but when that's all over with, they go away to the marriage supper. To the celebration. Now we had a celebration afterwards yesterday, but this is not a Western book. This is an Eastern book. It's Eastern customs. It's Israeli customs. So you understand that. So you go away to the marriage supper. Now yesterday there was only one woman who left with Brother Elijah. Who was that? Well. That was the one that had not denied his name.
Yeah, right.
How did she not deny it? She fully accepted it by taking that name to herself. I signed the papers.
Right.
I know what happened, right? And so she didn't deny his name. She didn't reject him. She accepted him. And when she said, "I do," she said, "I do" to all of him. As I've said so many times, you know, if my wife said, "Honey, I love you, I'll marry you, but I don't like your ears, you're going to have to cut them off." No, I wouldn't marry her.
Yeah.
So Christ wants someone who can accept all of the word.
Yes, amen.
All of the word.
Yes.
And so Sister Rachel yesterday, she accepted all of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And she married all of him, and she walked away bearing his name, not ashamed of him, but fully united with him.
Amen.
So, up until yesterday's ceremony, Elijah was limited on how much he could express his love and his care to her and his desire to be with her.
Yeah.
He was limited. Until the ceremony, he was limited. Brother Bram said, "You can't just come and take her and say, 'Come on, Jones.' There's got to be a ceremony first."
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But once that ceremony happened, then Elijah is now free and clear to express all of his love and affection to his bride.
Yeah. Right.
And so I'm saying that because this message is the ceremony.
Yeah. Right.
Right? And up until the opening of the seals, the Lord Jesus Christ was limited. And he couldn't fully express to his bride
right.
everything he had laying there in the word for her.
Right. Yeah.
There were portions of himself that she couldn't have access to until the ceremony.
Right.
But once that ceremony happens, he can fully express everything that he is, full open word for her to be partakers of.
Yeah.
Right? So the message of the hour has done this.
Right?
And I say this because I want you to know that prior to coming to this end time revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the church has not received the full benefits of the word yet.
Mm-hmm.
But once the seals have opened, once the revelation of Jesus Christ has come to you personally, then you have full access to every portion of that word.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And he's now able and is expressing his love to her, to his bride, like he would never do prior to that. Because now the ceremony has happened, the time has happened. That's the things that happen. So it's the opening of the seals that's such a pivotal point. We know that in the message.
Right.
See, the consummation is when there's a full revealing to one another. Prior to that, it's not. Full revealing, where she sees all of him, but also where she finally realizes that he's accepted her. You know, Elijah, he could have just turned around and walked out yesterday, just before the vows, right? But once that happens, that ceremony, especially consummation,
right,
that she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am his,
yeah,
and he is mine.
That's right.
And there's no question about
right.
it. Amen? How does she know? Because she was there.
Yeah.
She was with him.
Yeah, right.
She knows she's one with him.
Right?
Nobody can talk her out of it today. You try to call Sister Rachel today and tell her, say, you know what? All that was just a dream. She will tell you to get lost.
Right.
Right? I'm saying this because you can remember
yes,
it spiritually.
Right. Sure.
Right? Brother, sister, when you come on that sacred ground
yes.
with him, when you go behind that closed door with
yes.
him, something happens to you inside here
right.
that'll never be reversed. If you want that, tell the Lord, I want that.
Yes.
Because it'll change you and you'll never have to go back to those devils that harmed you before.
Amen.
They
right.
won't touch you because
right.
you've reached that point.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And so, this is where she finally realized that he's fully accepted her. And this is what the opening of the seals does to us. Not just the fact that it was open, but it has to be open to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, this consummation, it all happens in a secret place. It's not out in the open, right? It's a secret place.
Yep.
And if you know the message, you know what I'm talking about. The third pool was not to be done out in public,
that's
right? It was a secret. It was
right.
not a public showing.
That's right.
The third pool,
that's right?
Right? That third pool is the consummation.
Right.
Right? So, you know, Jesus had three pools in his ministry. Brother Branham had three pools in his ministry. Brother Branham, the first pool was the sign of his hand, where his hand, when
right.
people would take his hand and it would bumps and would come up over his hand and he could tell people what was wrong with him.
Yes.
Just people could see it.
Yeah. Right.
That was a sign in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, many years went by, after a while, it came to the pass where he didn't even have to take him by the hand. He could just know their thoughts. So it moved from a flesh sign to a spiritual sign.
Right.
And those were all done publicly where people could see it. And there were carnal impersonations. There's all kind of ministries to this day trying to mimic those things.
Right.
Right. But the Lord told him, said, that first pull and second pull, God told him, don't try to. But he tried to explain it, and so there was all kinds of carnal impersonation. But God said, listen, this third pool, you're not going to tell anybody about it, because it's a secret thing. And he had the vision of the tent where he went down into the little room, and the angel of the Lord said, I'll meet you in there, and it'll be the third pool, and you won't tell nobody about it. And so people were going in that room in there and sick, and they were coming out completely well, and nobody could see what was going on. It's a third pull, a personal relationship where you come in there and into this third pull and you come out on the other side in a rapture, totally healed from the death of humanity.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what is going on in the message and the word of God. And so Elijah yesterday, I'm talking about our Elijah, had three pulls.
Yeah.
Right? When Sister Rachel first saw him in the flesh, and I know this because she told me, said, when I first seen him, that was it. She said, you know, that's so, but that was just flesh.
Yeah.
And you know that a real marriage cannot be built just on flesh.
Right.
Right? You can't, it can't be just physical attraction because, look, right? You know, my wife's smiling back there. But you understand.
Yeah.
It can't be built just on flesh.
Right.
And what God wanted to do in this day could not be just Brother Bam standing there with a sign in his hand. That was not gonna bring a church to consummation.
Right, right.
That wasn't gonna do it. And even as much as we are amazed that Brother Bam can stand there and tell people who their names and where they come from and private conversation between them and their doctors, nobody else can do that out here in the world. But he could do it. But even that being second pool was not the thing that was going to bring a consummation. That was not the thing that was going to take a church and make them bride.
Right.
Make them one with the word. So Elijah had that first pool where she, Sister Rachel, just looked at him, and I hope they don't mind us using them as an example. They may be listening right now. If they are, we love you. You know, she saw him, and that was it, you know. But you see, it's got to go further than that. So she moved here. They got to spend more time, get to know one another. And so they begin to understand one another's spirit. So it goes beyond flesh. They get to know one another. And that's second pool. First pool, she's still not his wife. Second pool, she's still not his wife.
Right?
It takes third pool to make her his wife. And so you see, and the third pool happened yesterday, right? To make her that ceremony, you understand what I'm saying? And now she's his wife.
Yeah.
And now it'll never be reversed. Now she has a different name.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
But not until that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not until that. So you can just come to church, but that's not going to do it.
No.
You have to come to him.
Amen.
The word. And what do you have to go on? You just have his promise and his word saying, I love you and I want you.
Amen.
And you have to accept that. And you got to put feet on your belief.
Yep.
Lord, I'm going to throw away these things. I am a new person now because I have a promise I'm holding on to and I'm going to start making ready.
Amen.
And I expect him to come and fill me with his spirit.
Yes.
Right?
Amen. Yep.
Amen. And so you see, it's that third pool. That's the one that consummates the marriage. Mm-hmm. And that one is done in secret. Nobody else knows. Only you and the Lord knows.
Yeah, amen.
That's
right.
Right?
Right.
That's that personal relationship that you must have. And once that happens, I'll ask you this question. Once that consummation happens, how much access does she have to her husband?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Once you get to that revelation of Jesus Christ where you know something's happened inside you, how much access do you have to the Creator of all things?
Amen.
This message that God sent in this day, specifically, God sent it to do what I'm talking about, what we witnessed in the natural yesterday. In 1965, April 29th, Brother Branham preached a message called The Choosing of a Bride. And in there, Brother Branham talks about, you know, a man has a choice. He can choose who he's going to marry. He has a choice of the church he can go to, a choice of what color car he drives, whatever. But he has to make a choice. And Brother Ben said, you can look at a man and you can tell what's in a man's heart by the choice he makes in a wife.
Mm-hmm.
So if he picks a wife that's some striptease, you know, model on some magazine or something like that, you know what's in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so Brother Ben is explaining all these things, but what you have to understand is that what Brother Ben's job, he was sent here to get a wife for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was his purpose.
Right.
Just like Eliezer in the Bible was to go get the wife for Isaac, Abraham's son.
Right.
Right? So his job was to come here. and to get that life. And so he's telling the people, look, and I'm gonna can I just paraphrase and kind of okay. And so he's like, look, I'm here. God has sent me. I have a ministry that you know only comes from God.
Yeah.
And you need to hear me. You need to listen to what I'm telling you.
Right?
Because God has vindicated this. And you see it yourself. Even your own magazines, your own people, they're testifying that, okay, you need to listen. And let me tell you what kind of church Jesus Christ is going to come for.
Yeah, right.
Here's the one he's looking for. He's choosing a bride. And let me tell you, it's not these denominations. It's not all these big programs.
No.
Right? She's the one. I'm telling you the same thing this morning. The one who chooses the word, who stays with the word. That's the one he's choosing.
Yeah.
Right? So Brother Branham is telling in this message, choosing the bride. And he's saying, you know, this is the kind of bride that the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know he's holy and he's righteous, and so you know the choice that he picks in a bride is going to reflect his character and his nature.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you know what kind of woman she's going to be, what kind of church she will be. And in that same message, that's when the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. It is there in Los Angeles. And that's when the Spirit of the Lord comes up on him, and he tells Los Angeles, you're going to sink beneath the ocean. The city that calls yourself by the name of the angels is what he said.
Yep.
You've exalted yourself up into heaven, but you'll be brought down into hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
It'll be worse than the last day of Pompeii.
Yep.
Repent.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly.
You know what he said?
That's right.
And so here he is. He's like, here's what I'm here for. And I'm telling you what he's coming for. And to those who he rejects, this is what's coming. Because you realize that as the gospel moved from there in the east, moving westward, each step when it came into Germany was Luther's message.
Yeah.
That message right there of Luther represented the entire movement of God in the age, in the whole world at that time.
Yeah.
Then it jumped over a little bit later into England with Wesley in the sanctification day. That movement represented what God was doing in the entire earth at that time.
Right.
But then it jumped over here into the United States and became the Pentecostal outpouring. Represented what God was doing around the world and the condition of the church were around the world at that time. And then it moved all the way to the West Coast. And Brother Ram said it cannot go any further until it goes back east again, which means it's going to go back to the Jews.
Right?
And so the West Coast of America typifies the entire age and what's going to happen to the entire age if they don't accept the gospel. And a prophet standing there on the West Coast and saying, here's the ministry that come from God. And this is the kind of bride the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for.
Yes.
And here's the judgment that comes on an entire generation who will not accept it and will not marry this holy, righteous king.
Right.
So he's preaching that there in 1965 in April. Mm-hmm. Well, then 3 months later, he preaches a sermon called Ashamed. Mm-hmm. And in that sermon, he says, you know, yes, you said, what was he ashamed about? Well, he was telling about going to Africa and couldn't get in over there, and I always thought about that. But he said, I keep having these dreams, and I'm back at the old job I used to work at, you know. He tells about all that, and he said, why do I keep having these dreams? Like I'm working back at the public works, where the water company or whatever electric company was at. And so he's like, you know, maybe, he said, they used to get pay for your meals or whatever. And he said, they give you so much money for breakfast or whatever. And he said, I didn't need that much. And he said, I just turned in 5 cents or whatever it was, and they were supposed to be turning in like 35 cents. And his workers, his boss was like, who's that knothead that only turns in 5 cents for breakfast? Or, you know, and so Brother Ben said, well, and they said, well, you know. And so he said, well, I started taking, and I was buying breakfast for little kids or something like that, right? I mean, there was a story.
Right.
Said, I was buying, and he said, well, maybe, you know, because my boss told me. I didn't need but 5 cents, but they're telling me to spend it. So I'm spending it buying breakfast on some of the kids and stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, well, maybe God's holding that against me that I was, But my boss was one telling me to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, maybe I was being, you know, God's holding it, and that's why I'm having dreams about going back working there. He's trying to find out, why do I keep having dreams of this past, of this job that I have, right? In the past. And he said, then something said to him, said, maybe you're ratting on God's job. No, it wasn't that one, but maybe you're ratting on God's job. What is my job was to go get that wife.
Yeah.
So from his own words there, you realize Brother Bram hadn't quite fulfilled that commission, right, in July of 1965. After preaching and choosing a bride, but still hadn't fully finished that. And I believe before he left here, he did fully finish. So, then in November 1965, the 25th, he preached a sermon called Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Invisible.
Yeah.
In a secret place.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Not for anyone else to see.
Mm-hmm.
Consummation.
Yeah.
Right? Invisible union of the Bride of Christ. So there's a lot of things I can say about that. But about that particular sermon there. But then the next night he preaches a message called Works is Faith Express. And if you take the first letter of those, it's W-I-F-E, Works is Faith Express.
Right.
Because after they're consummated, she's now wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And you realize that you know, that you wives, when you do things for your husband, it's works is faith expressed. It works is your love expressed. And so that, to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into that unity with him, to come to that place, and now that's what we're about. That's what we're about.
Right.
Everything we do for him.
Right.
Right? It's not that we're trying to gain favor from him. We've already gained it, but now we're expressing our love. We're expressing our faith by the things we do, by the works that we do, not to
right.
be saved, but to just to show our thankfulness and our gratitude to him of what he's done for us. Amen? And so I've said all this, you know, the message has done this. This is what it's here for. And it's still happening in the lives of people. We're all at different levels. But when this message is finished, getting to the last one, getting that last member of the bride of Jesus Christ, and getting them to consummation,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to go home.
Amen.
We're going to go home.
Right.
But we won't go until the last person is part of that. He knows who they are. And when that last one comes in, then we all get to go home together.
Yep.
And so, saying all that to say this, who is it that can approach to God in this hour? Who is it that has access to him?
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Who can actually access him and whatever they need? Who can do it? Can the denominations? Can governments? New programs that, no, none of them can. And they know they can't. That's why they're just going nuts making all these programs, trying to do something. Man trying to fend for himself. Man was not supposed to fend for himself. But God would do it for him, take care of him. But who can? The one who can have access to him is the one he's revealed himself to.
Yeah.
His wife, his
Amen.
Bride.
Right.
Amen. Brother Graham tells us that she has already found favor in his sight. I'll read a quote here in just a moment or two. She's already found favor in his sight. We read there in the story there of Esther. You know that Esther you know, the king had a wife, a church, that wouldn't obey him. Right? And so he put her away. And another wife was sought for him. And they brought all these virgin, fair virgins in, and they all had, you know, a long period of time, about a year or whatever it was, that, to prepare. And he would call for them to come. And if he found favor in them, then he would make that one his wife. And the scripture said that there was a chamberlain there over the women, and he would tell the women, you know, I believe he'd say, this is what the king likes. This is the nature. Here's, you know. And so the scripture said all these women, they would come in. But when it came Esther's turn to go before the king, the scripture said that every time the woman was going to be called before the king, whatever she wanted, she could have.
Mm-hmm.
to prepare to go before the king. But the scripture said when it came Esther's turn, the only thing she required to prepare herself to go before the king, that she might be accepted before the king, was the very thing that that chamberlain had told her. That's the only thing she required. In other words, she said, you know what? If this man has the kind of ministry that he's had in my day, there's no doubt he talks to the king. And if he tells me the king wants me to live this way and to dress this way and act this way, then I know that's what will please the king. And the scriptures differentiated her from all the rest of the women, that all the rest of them, they got what they wanted and they were not chosen. But when Esther chose only the thing that that chamberlain told her, and she went before the king looked at her and said, here's a woman that'll make a good wife.
That's right.
She'll make a good mother. She'll be a good home. We'll have a good home because she stayed with the word.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Right.
And so the scripture said that when she went into the king's house, when he called her and made her queen, it happened in Revelation 10:7. It didn't say Revelation 10:7, but it was the 10:7 was there. I think it was the 10th month of the 10th day of the 7th month or whatever, which ties it to Revelation 10:7. Right? Mm-hmm. Revelation 10:7. What? In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Don't let the phone distract you.
Right.
Right? It's all right, sister. All things are possible.
Amen.
Amen. Right. The Holy Spirit would know if you did that on purpose, it'd be a different environment, right?
Right, right.
But he knows.
Revelation
10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. That was our messenger.
That's right. Right.
He was the messenger to the seventh age. When he was here declaring who Christ is coming for a bride, what kind of bride, he was here to be that officer and to perform that marriage ceremony, right? This was in the numbers of the Bible, numerology of the Bible, that's when Esther was called in to be queen. So I can realize that underneath this message, this minister to conduct this ceremony to for the bride of Christ in Christ, that makes us queen. To obey that, to come into that, makes us the queen. But you see, there's one more thing that happened after that. We realize that in that story there with Esther, that there was an evil one there that was trying to destroy Esther and all her people.
Yep.
And the king, of course, he didn't know what was going on there. But here she was as queen. And there was a thing in that kingdom there was that no person could approach the king. Brother, sister, there's a reason why this is in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because I asked you a while ago, who can approach him? Yeah. Which one of these denominations can approach him? Which government? Which politician? No. Who's got the plan that'll make us be able to approach God and have his favor? No. I ask you, can you name one?
No.
Right? There was no one could come and approach that king unless he called for him. And if they came before him and he didn't accept them, whoosh, and we're in that hour.
Yeah.
We're in that hour where we need God. Because there's an enemy out here that's after us.
Yeah.
After us and all of our people and all of our family that we love, that we've prayed for so much.
Yeah.
There's an enemy after them going to destroy them. And so here's Esther with that situation. That it had already been decreed her people were going to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. And she was in desperation. And so we read the scriptures there when she came before the king. He didn't call her. Anybody comes without being called, he better accept him, because if he doesn't, they're done for.
Yep.
And she thought she was just like everybody else. She didn't realize the access she had. She thought she was just like that. And well, it's in, you know, the story. She's like, well, everybody fast and praying. If I go in and I die, I die.
Yep.
See, even she didn't understand the magnitude of who she was now.
Right.
Even after the opening of the seals, even after the personal revelation, she hadn't quite come to understand exactly what kind of access she had to this king.
Right.
She didn't understand it. But the scripture said there that when she came, she found favor with him. He loved her. And you know what he said to her? He said, Esther, what is it that you want? What is your petition? What are you asking for? I don't care what it is. I'll give it to you all the way to half of my kingdom.
That's right, yeah.
You know, a husband and wife are supposed to be joint heirs, right? Right?
Amen, right?
To half. Mm-hmm. I read that, you know, whenever Herod's daughter danced for Herod, right? So Herod's married to Herodias. Herodias' daughter dances before her father-in-law, right? And pleases him so much that he said to his own stepdaughter, I'll give you whatever you want to half of my kingdom. He was giving her the position of a wife.
Yeah.
Think of the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But here's this king, and he says, I'll give to you whatever you choose.
Yeah.
And I hope you know the message, and those of you don't, you can ask or whatever, we'll share with you, but listen, what do you want?
Amen.
What do you want, Sister Hattie?
Yeah.
Right. Ask for $1,000,000 and see if it doesn't drop in your lap.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Ask for healing of your crippled sister. See if that'll happen.
Right.
Right? Whatever you want, Sister Hattie. The Lord's standing here. People that were there, so I think some people passed out and their face fell in their food at the table, but he stands and he says, Sister Hattie, you said the right thing, and God is here telling me to ask what you will, and he'll give it to you.
Amen.
And she's like, I don't know what to ask for. And he said, you only make $200 a year, I think is what he said at the time. He said, ask for $1,000,000 and see if it doesn't land in your lap.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, you know the ministry. If she would have said $1,000,000, it would have come and appeared in her lap right there.
Yeah.
It would have happened. Because this is a ministry worthy. It's come from God.
Yeah.
Right? And so he said, whatever you want. What did she ask for?
Amen.
What did she ask for?
Yeah.
Come to this place. Now, what kind of access did she have? Here's this widow woman that's typing this whole situation of Elijah coming to a widow woman.
Yeah.
Elijah coming to this church.
Right?
And here it is, and says, what do you want? And you can have it. What kind of access did that woman have at that moment?
Right.
You realize that at that moment, what did she ask for? She didn't ask for money and riches and fame and
no.
a better house or nothing like that.
Yeah.
She had two teenage boys that were making fun and laughing at what they were listening to.
Yeah.
And she said, the thing that's more important to me and my whole, and all that, is the salvation of my two boys.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
What kind of access did she have to God at that moment?
Yeah. Right.
She had such access. Don't miss this. I hope everybody's paying attention.
Amen.
Okay? If this message is doing what we're talking about today,
yeah.
And we have the access of what we're talking about right here.
Right.
Right? She had such access with God that even her two boys' opinion didn't matter.
Right.
You understand? She had such an access with God that she said, I want the salvation of the two boys. And them two boys came and they used their mama's lap as an altar and cried their way to God right there on her lap right then.
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't that what happened?
Right.
Right. She had such access with God right then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That he said, whatever you want. Just like we sing with Esther. Esther, what do you need? What do you want? I'll give it to you. You can name it. I'll give you half of my kingdom. You realize that kingdom? There were 127 provinces. And that day was pretty much the entire world at the time. King Ahasuerus had them. Right? He's got a different name in history, but in the Bible, it's Ahasuerus. She could have had half of that kingdom. She could have said, you know, I tell you what, I want the half of the provinces that are the strongest,
that have the most men. I'll just get all these men and we'll get an army together and we'll go fight this evil Haman.
Yeah.
Not what she said.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Not what she said. She wanted the life of her people.
That's right. Yeah.
She didn't go into some fleshly realm trying to, she just wanted the life of her people.
Amen.
And I believe that we come to this place now here at the end time where that's what we need. We don't need riches. We don't need bigger churches. We don't need fame and fortune. But what we do want is our children and our loved ones. That's who we want.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
And we have access. If this message is taking place in your life, you've come in, then you have access, whatever you desire.
Amen.
Brother Bram said that God would not have granted the Sister Hattie Wright that request if he knew she would have wanted $1 million. He would have never given that to her.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew what was on her heart.
Right?
Right? He knew what was on her heart.
Absolutely.
So you want to ask? That's why she said the right thing. Right? What was it that caused that? When Brother Ram was talking about speaking the squirrels into existence,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "The only thing I know is it had to be Jehovah Jireh.
Yep.
God will provide." That he spoke, and there was those three squirrels.
Yeah.
Right? Just right there out of nowhere.
Right.
And Sister Hattie, what was she? She was listening to that word.
Yeah.
And she had a choice to say, "I don't believe that's Jesus Christ. I'm not marrying that." But what did she say? She said, "You know what? I love him. That's the one who my soul delighteth in and loveth."
Yeah.
Right? She said, "That's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham."
Yeah,
and
right.
When she said that, it struck heaven.
Yep.
Right? Hallelujah. Her attitude toward what God was doing in this day
is what
gave her access.
Right.
Well, that attitude showed who she was. It showed what she was part of. It shows she wasn't rejecting him, right? It's our attitude to this message.
Yeah.
And everything this message has brought our way about every aspect of our lives and of religion, it's all the Word of God. What portion can we reject?
Right.
We say, "Well, I don't think that." No, if you do that, you're rejecting the Word. It's all the Word, and it's our attitude toward that Word that will bring us an entrance into that kind of access to Him. And it'll prove and show words being faith expressed. It will show that we fully embraced Him.
Amen.
That He's our husband now.
That's right.
And then we have access.
Yes.
And brother, sister, we need that kind of access
Amen.
Now.
We do.
Yeah.
We need that kind of access to Him right now. Amen. So I read the scripture there a little while ago. Let me backtrack. I want to read this. I said she's already found favor with him. Brother Bram tells us in the Feast of Trumpets, he talks about how that Satan loosed all those spirits upon Hitler, Mussolini, Eichmann, Stalin to persecute the Jews. And he said now those spirits are being released again upon the bride.
Yes.
And so what? To bring a persecution upon the bride. And so Brother Bram says, loosed upon what? Not upon denominations, see, because they've rejected the word of healing. So why would Satan go after them?
Right. Exactly.
Right? Not upon denominations, upon the bride. But here you get it. The bride will not go through that time. He's talking about tribulation.
Yep.
She'll not go through that time. The Bible said not. The church will,
yep.
But the bride, but not the bride. Can't you see, ministers? Can't you see that, brethren? You say the church has to go through persecution for purification. That's what they say. We got to go through all this rough time so we be purified. Listen to what the marriage officer had to say. Listen to what he said. The blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. A man who chooses a wife don't put her through a lot of punishment. She's found grace with him. He's engaged to her. And if there's anything, he'll keep her hand every place to keep her from every place to turn her hand His grace is so great upon her, and so will it be upon the bride, and so is it upon the bride. We unworthy creatures, so deserving of hell, but by his grace, he holds us through. So, brethren, it's telling us the man is not going to choose a woman and say, well, I'm going to marry you, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to really run you through the ringer because you're just not ready yet. Does that sound right? Would God do that? If he's pulling at your heart, is he making a mistake pulling at your heart, or does he know what he's doing? He knows what he's doing. My goodness. We're the ones that's all confused. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Right?
He don't put her through a bunch of nonsense. She's already found grace, or he wouldn't ask her in the first place.
Right?
And let me say it this way. She's already found grace in his sight, or he would never reveal himself to her.
That's right.
He would never allow you to see the deeper things of his word that the rest of the world passes over and gets no chance for. He'd never do that if you weren't that one.
Amen.
Amen? And so, I read that scripture to end. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And I say boldly, that's with reverence too. Right?
Yeah.
To reverence him for what he's done. But let's come boldly.
Amen.
And let's make our petition be known. And say, Lord, this is what I want. How many can do that today as we close in prayer in just a minute? To say, God, this is what I need. This is what I want for my life. Now, if it's selfish, oh, I want a new car, I just might as well not even do it.
Yeah, right.
We're way past that.
Let the
prosperity preachers talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about something that's a lot more important. Let us pray for that. Let us approach him for that. On the basis of what? On the basis of this word that is brought to us by the marriage officer. Let us approach God and say, God, this is what I'm looking for.
Yes.
This is what I need.
Amen.
Because he's the one that can bring it. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Let's bow our hearts. Gracious Father, Lord, we just want to tell you this. We're so thankful, Lord, for your presence among us today. The truth of your word, Lord, in this environment. I pray, Lord, that each one has been listening this morning, God, that it has spoke something into their hearts that has changed the world. God, to know that you have called our name, that you're wooing us and pulling us, Lord, and that you don't make mistakes. And I pray, Lord, that this morning, that Lord, we'd be able to surrender to you like we've never been able to before. Lord, your prophet said that, you know, there's a lot of fanaticism out in the world and different things, but we want to come to you with clear, sane decision based upon your word, Lord. What we've heard this morning, what has come in this day for us. We're approaching you now in that way, Lord, and there's many things that we need, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that the things that we ask for, that they, Lord, they're pleasing to you. God, that it would be things that pertain to eternal life. Lord, we have loved ones that have gone out into the world and different things, Lord. But, Lord, we're asking for them. We know there's an enemy out there that wants to come and get them. And so, Lord, we're just asking, God, that you would just go to them now. To begin to speak to their hearts. Lord, if you don't call them, if you don't draw them, they won't come. But, God, if you are calling and they are being led in your spirit, Lord, we pray, God, that they come to the fullness of your word. Lord, we claim them, each one, our children. We claim them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we apply the token over them. And so, Lord Jesus, we just commit them to you now. God, those that are present today now, for something they have need of, Lord, we pray, God, that you would just let them cry out for them. Let them approach you in desperation, believing, God, that you'll answer, and we know you will. We love you, Lord, and we just praise your holy name now. Pray that you just continue to move on the hearts of your people. We're not in a hurry. Lord, we just want to just surrender to you and let you have your way. As we worship you, we pray that you deal with our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name.
something that I heard way back, just time or two throughout all the political things and everything going on. And it's a true statement. You cannot find that which you are not looking for. If you don't search for it, you'll never find it.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's promised.
Yes.
If you take a step toward him,
that's right,
brother, sister, he'll sure come towards you.
Help me.
Right. He is a gentleman. He won't force anybody. Brother, sister, if you love him, if you see him and you say, you know what, this is what I do. I said, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to walk in a way that honors you. I walked in that wedding yesterday. I said, Lord, I want to represent you well. I come into this church, I want to represent you well. I don't want people to see something besides something other than me, right? Something. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see him.
Yes.
And I don't want to seek after something that I know is not going to make him in me.
Yeah.
Right? I want to seek after the things that produce him in me.
Right.
But if you never seek him, if you never spend the time to pray, if you never spend the time to read your Bible, if you never spend time consecrated, if you never go into that secret place,
yeah, right,
you got to do that, because he will not force you.
That's right.
But he will do it if you will. We know this to be true. So let me encourage you as you go today. Right? You know, you come into church. I know I was a sinner once. I didn't want to be in church. I didn't want to be in an uncomfortable. Why? Because there was a conviction. And you know what? That conviction will follow you home, and it'll follow you to work, and it'll follow you all the days of your life. There's only one way to get rid of that conviction. And that's to come. That's to accept him in your heart totally, completely. And do whatever you've got to do to get that conviction to go away. And there's only one thing that can make it go away. So you do whatever you have to do through desperation to get to that place where you know that he has accepted you. Amen.
Right.
Scripture tells us that he gives the Holy Ghost to those who obey him. And so we appreciate the Lord. May the Lord bless you. We'll see some more as you're dismissed.